This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher, and in the United States, Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
Well, of course, we've missed all the excitement from yesterday, an incredible day, particularly in the United States for markets. And the sell-off in global shares so far seems to have eased following that very sharp fall. We saw the S&P fall nearly 3%. Of course, the NASDAQ, that sunk 4%. And some of the individual shares, which we'll talk about more in a minute, like Tesla, really nosedived. It was an incredible day, wasn't it? Whether it's likely that we're going to have a recession in the United States and so on. So, Nick, let me get your overview, first of all, as to how you saw yesterday's events.
Yeah, Johnny, I think that what we are doing right now is we are giving away some of the air in the balloon, if you will, the hype that came with a Donald Trump victory. Again, regardless of your politics or your thoughts on the guy, he was initially very bullish for equities markets as people thought, hey, you know what? He's pro-business, less regulation, less taxes, stocks to the moon. That was the initial thought. And I think that yesterday we got some confirmation that this second administration, the second term from Donald Trump, is a little bit different than the first. Now, there's some similarities, but one thing that was made very clear yesterday and which had the NASDAQ in a head spin, basically, was the confirmation that, basically Trump does not see ruling out a recession as ridiculous, right? So there's, you know, we also have seen several of his administration team basically say the thought process is short-term pain for long-term gain. Now, again, regardless of where you sit on the spectrum, if you think that is a reasonable thought process or if you totally disagree with it, regardless, what we know now is that in the short run, the Trump put, as many are referring to it, has maybe been moved further out of the money. And if you're familiar with options, basically, or not familiar with options, all I'm saying basically is the idea that Trump's going to step in and save the stock market has been the idea as to why many investors were very bullish when he took office or when he won the election, really. We've given back all of those gains pretty much. And the idea here is now just the confirmation from Trump that there's not this huge in the money Trump put right now. Basically, they're going to step in and save the day right here, right now. I still personally think that it's still there. I think, you know, Trump does take the stock market as a bit of his scorecard, but perhaps the administration is telling us not to believe them when they say that, you know, the efforts of Doge and the efforts of tariffs and all these things to try and rebalance stuff could short term cause some serious headache for an equities market that has been priced very richly. I mean, there are remarkable companies in the United States, but with them having, you know, very high valuations and a lot of uncertainty around tariffs and perhaps a different set of rubric rules, I suppose, or scorecards this time around, the equities markets are rethinking how much of a Trump put there really is.
And the R word, recession, in other words, I mean, is that something that we're overdoing it a bit? What President Trump said, he warned that the US faced what he called a period of transition, mainly down to these global tariff plans. I mean, I'm looking through some of the comments from financial commentators around the world. Most don't think there's going to be a recession. Certainly, there's going to be a correction to what they thought was the growth figure, which originally was what? Something like 2.5%. They're talking now 1.5% for US growth, which is nothing to be sniffed at. You know, it's still a sizable amount. We've seen the pound rise against the US dollar as well. Oil is on the down, which is also perhaps an indicator as to people worried about the lack of growth in the United States and the global economies as well. Are you on the side of this could be a possible recession, Nick?
Look, you bring up a really good point, Johnny. And in a second, we're going to hear from Kenny on this because this is a really important question. I just talked about the Trump put, right? Maybe it's moved further out the money. The big question now a lot of investors and analysts are looking at is there a Fed put or a Powell put, whatever you'd like to call. We'll talk about that in just a moment with Kenny. I'm very curious to hear what he has to say. But what I do think is also worth mentioning is, okay, we have markets selling now and asking questions later. The asking questions later part, as you correctly have brought up, is, okay, there's these recession fears, but the data's not there yet, right? Let's be very clear. The U.S. economy is not showing massive deterioration. Unemployment claims week over week are not coming in super high. We don't see GDP numbers materially lower. The idea is that the market is trying to look ahead and trying to forecast, but we know what markets tend to do. They get really scared. And like I said, I think they sell now and ask questions later. My opinion on this is I don't think we're entering into a giant global recession. That is the worries out there. That is part of the reason why I think the market is selling off. And my personal opinion, as always, not financial advice, is that I think it's a little overblown in the short run. People are really scared out there. And I think that, you know, you take a look at the VIX, you can see it. You know, we were talking just before the podcast about how the financial markets are the ultimate truth, the ultimate scorecard to what sentiment in the world is. And we can take a look at the VIX at 28. People are scared. People are pricing in big moves. But my argument perhaps would be that, look, the data's not in yet, and jumping to the conclusion that we know exactly how all these tariffs are going to play out and they're going to cause massive, you know, sell-offs, I think is a little bit extreme. You may think that, but arguably one thing that's observable in the options market is that oftentimes the expected moves or the implied volatility of the markets is higher than the actual move. And I would take that side of the opinion, in my opinion, on this current kind of fear move that we're seeing across global markets.
And of course, the oldest cliche in the book, it's the uncertainty which is really affecting markets rather than the actuality. As you said, as yet, the data doesn't suggest a recession. But because we've had so much flip-flopping over the past couple of weeks regarding the tariffs, people don't know where they stand. Crazy situation between, for instance, Canada and the United States. And of course, we saw former Bank of England chief Mark Carney become the prime minister in the last 24 hours. Which is absolutely fascinating because, of course, he knows his numbers as well. He looks pretty bullish. Talking to a Canadian, Kenny, what's your view? And but more specifically, you've really come on here to discuss what the Fed might do next, because there's no love lost, is there, between Jay Powell and Donald Trump? And it'll be interesting to see what the Fed comes out with over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, Johnny, let's talk a little bit about the Fed. Continuing what you and Nick had mentioned about the R word, the fear of recession, and the fact that the markets are scared, I think we'd all agree that the last thing you want to see is that the Federal Reserve is looking scared. Right now, the Fed has been talking about not cutting when they meet next week. So imagine if suddenly they decided to cut, that would probably make investors even more nervous about a recession. So I think the Fed, the stance that they're going to continue is really wait and see about what we talked about, this turbulence that Trump's causing. And that next week, I just took a look, it's almost a certainty that they will not cut. So that could be just as much as Nick had mentioned, because of the lack of data, or also not to really give the market any concerns if they were suddenly to cut. What happens after March is a bit dicey. The Fed will meet after that in May, and a rate cut is close to 50-50. But we have plenty of time until then. I think the Fed will have a better idea of what's happening with the tariffs and with the stock market before they do anything. I would emphasize that I think the Fed wants to make sure that it looks like it's in control. And as Nick mentioned, this whole storm around the stock market may appear worse than it really is, and in a week or two could dissipate. You'd mentioned that the pound was quite high. It's up today 0.5%, and that's the highest since November. It's up 2.9% in March, and I noticed that the euro is also quite high today. So I think what we're seeing is that the U.S. dollar, it's not attracting investors, obviously. People are looking at what's happening around the world at the U.S., and right now the U.S. is not representing stability, and I think that the dollar is also taking it on the chin a little bit because of that.
Kenny, I also was discussing a little bit about the Trump put and the Powell put concepts. I wanted to ask your thoughts on something too, in regards to the situation, right, where we're talking about potential recession fears. Let's just assume for a second that we do see a material slowing in the economy, keynote being jobs. If we see jobs data come in soft, I'm curious what your opinion or what your thought is on the idea, would the Fed cut rates if inflation was still sticky, but jobs data started to materially weaken? If we saw those weekly jobless claims start to perk up and get a little worrisome, do you think the Fed would act first on jobs or first on inflation? I have an opinion on it, but I'm curious to hear yours.
Well, it seems that I guess we'd agree that the Fed is in a bit of a bind right now, seeing that inflation, as you mentioned, is sticky and jobs are coming down. Although the drop in the labor market seems to be quite gradual. We had 160,000 new jobs in the non-farms payroll last week, which was a bit higher than what was forecast. So I think the Fed is fairly satisfied with what's happening with the labor market. Inflation's still a bit high, but I think if inflation stays high and the job market were to go down, I think there's a good chance that the Fed would cut rates, but again, not till May, which gives them, I think, a bit of a chance to telegraph the market what they're planning to do. I think Powell's been quite good with that, and especially with this kind of market turbulence, they don't want to have any surprises. So right now it's about 50-50, but I think to address your question, if the job market did deteriorate more significantly, I think they would go ahead and cut rates.
Just to share my opinion, even though you didn't ask for it, I agree with you. I think that the idea would be that if you get inflation kind of where it is, right? It's not at the 9% that it was a couple years ago. It's not at 8, it's not 7, it's at 3, which that's the CPI, right? The PCE, I believe, is 2.6, core PCE at 2.5. Those are not ideal numbers, but the direction of unemployment is the important thing, right? We don't want unemployment to start trending higher. So I do think that that might be what the bond market is thinking. That's why we're pricing in 3 rate cuts for 2025. So we'll see. But yeah, I would say that if you're going to get 3 or even more than that this year, it would definitely, in my opinion, be due to the labor market slowing.
Just to change subject slightly, guys. No sector was more turbulent than the NASDAQ, and particularly Tesla shares. Now, Elon Musk really is right at the center of President Trump's administration. And I'm wondering whether he's regretting it now, because the brand damage that's happened to Tesla and some of his other projects is quite incredible, really. We're seeing protests outside of Tesla showrooms and so on. And we were saying off air before, Nick, that Tesla's price is now actually what it was when President Trump won the election. We've seen Nvidia also down more than 5%, and other major tech stocks like Meta, Amazon, Alphabet also falling sharply, but none like Tesla. Do you think Elon Musk is regretting getting involved in politics now?
You know, Elon Musk is a curious guy, and you gave me a difficult question, Johnny, so I appreciate it for this Tuesday morning here. Is Elon Musk regretting being a part of Doge and the effort? I think if you asked him, he would say starkly no. The shareholders might not love it because, of course, Tesla has given back a substantial amount of gains. However, a lot of those gains were, I would argue, just a lot of hype that followed the administration that is winning the election, right? When they won the election, a lot of people bought the idea that, okay, with Musk close to Trump, perhaps there is some more advantages to Tesla that come with it. And you know, it's interesting how this has flipped. When that first happened, right, the connection between Musk and Trump was perceived as a positive thing for the stock. And now suddenly the connection between Musk and Trump is perceived as a very negative thing for the stock. You know, it's an interesting company. It's the never-ending debate is this a car company or is this a tech company? And people are on both sides of that debate heavily. You know, I think it's an incredibly innovative company, but Elon Musk, I actually saw him in an interview, or he was asked a question. He said eventually he does want to get back to building rockets and building cars. So I think that in the short run, his connection with the administration and being a political figure, it's kind of like when Oprah ran for office, right? She was immediately tarnished by the media, right? So anybody who gets close to politics suddenly is under scrutiny. So I think at some point you might actually see a move further away from the White House perceived as a very positive thing for the stock. But yeah, right now it causes a little bit of uncertainty. Perhaps there's people boycotting, purchasing Teslas but I do still want to reiterate, there's a lot of demand for these cars. And recently China sales and forecasts for Tesla auto sales jumped up quite a bit. So I think that there's still a very strong demand for the cars. I think long-term this company, you know, it leads the EV world. And if the EV world's going somewhere, Tesla, in my opinion, has a place in it. So we'll see. It's, like I said, a pretty brutal sell-off, but you have to kind of take it into perspective. We're at $220 a share, give or take. We've been there for the last, you know, couple years floating up and down around that level. We've given back a lot of gains that were there, but they were kind of all at once and all given back at once too. So if we continue to trend down like this, then yes, we seriously are seeing a crash in the stock. But right now it's kind of all relative to where we've been.
And we're going to see later today some of the Wall Street bigwigs meet with President Trump. That's going to be absolutely fascinating, whether or not we get to see any of that meeting or if there's some sort of media conference afterwards. But President Trump will want to reassure those financial leaders that, you know, the ship is steady. It'll be interesting to see how much they actually push up against him and question some of his decisions. We'll wait and see. It should be fascinating. Guys, we've got the CPI tomorrow, so we'll reflect on that. But it's been fascinating talking to both of you today. We'll speak to you soon.
Nice to be with you.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Kenny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.